everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Cougar Chat Radio. It's Thursday, March 14th, and I'm Jen, and I'm joined by Frank Sinelli, who's filling in for our missing host, Dan, and Michelle. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, y'all.
Good.
Hey, Frankie.
What's happening, darling?
Hey, not much. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm so stoked to be here.
Good. Well, we will see each other next week. That's what
yes.
I'm stoked about.
I'm even more stoked about that.
Yes. So for those of you who aren't aware, we're going to an event called Phenomenology. It's in Gettysburg every year about this time, and it's chock full of paranormal and horror and people and psychics and just lots of fun and one big party, and we're excited.
Right. I may even have a drink. I might get a little crazy.
Oh, whatever.
Hey, it's my birthday on Friday, so just keep that in mind, y'all, okay?
We'll be sure to find that same little grocery store smack dab in the middle of downtown Gettysburg and get you another cake. That ended up all over my face, thanks to Chris
Redman.
Yes,
yes.
But fun. Well, this evening we welcome Reed Timmer from Discovery Channel Storm Chasers. Long-time running Storm Chasers was recently canceled, but Reed and gang are funding their own no-holds-barred tornado web series called Tornado Chasers, where viewers can watch as the team ventures into dangerous storms in their armored vehicles, Dominator 1 and Dominator 2. And I did not know there was a second, so that's cool. We'll be talking about their Kickstarter fundraiser for that project. You can go make a donation at Kickstarter.com and search for Tornado Chasers. In just a few minutes, we'll welcome Reed on. But before we get started, Frank, you had a fun weekend. You want to talk about that a little bit?
I'm sure. I was at Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and it's just this huge horror sci-fi convention. One of the more notable things, Billy Dee Williams was there.
Oh.
And you all remember him from the Colt 45 commercials,
yep.
But that's not why he was there, because he was Lando Calrissian.
Absolutely. And he's going to be in the new Star Wars movie, is he not? Or he's?
No, they had not approached him yet.
Oh.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I'd asked him, and he said that he would be willing to do it, but he's just not have been asked yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, the other three guys have been on there, right?
What's that?
The other three? Harrison Ford and so forth?
And Mark Hamill and Princess Leia. Carrie Fisher.
They're going to have to do some serious CG work to make those people look younger.
Well, you know, I'm hoping they're not the main focus of the movie.
No, probably not. It's probably passing down the reins.
Yeah, and I hope it's a little bit more than a cameo, but, you know, not like the main focus.
Right.
Yeah. And I know Harrison Ford has also been quoted as saying he wouldn't mind if Han Solo were to be killed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, someone might throw a back out trying to reach for that lightsaber too fast, so.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Do any of you have plans for St. Paddy's Day weekend?
I'm actually supposed to be in a parade on a float.
As what?
Oh, my gosh.
As me.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's because I have a kill.
Okay.
Now, a friend of mine, her son has a band, and they play this kind of Irish rock kind of, and they're really cool. So they're going to be, so they asked me to go on the float with them.
Very cool.
Why not?
Well, I am, for the first time ever, going to attend a bar crawl.
Oh, cool.
6 bars in 6 hours, so I have no idea what to expect.
Oh, my gosh. My weekend isn't as fun as your guys's. You know, I have to work.
Oh.
So.
Well, we'll call you. We'll call you and harass you.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. There you go.
I'll tag you in all the pictures.
You do that. Do that.
So the Catholic Church has a new Pope, Pope Francis. I think today was his first day on the job.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool.
Pope Francis, which not many people know that is my real name.
Well, of course.
Pope.
Oh, goofer. And in other news, a New York woman committed suicide by jumping 8 stories with her 10-month-old child in her arms. Did you read about that?
I saw that on
CNN this morning. Oh, my gosh. But the baby lived.
Yeah, 10-month-old lived. The suicide note said she knew she was doing wrong, but was worried about how the child was developing.
Wow.
Don't do that. Just don't.
Yeah, I guess she had some issues after the pregnancy. You know, she just didn't get the help she needed.
Jeez. And men and women, watch out. There's a woman in Canada who sold all her husband's belongings after finding out he cheated on her. And in her Craigslist ad, she said, "Husband left us for a piece of trash, selling everything while he's gone for the weekend with his floozy."
Oh, my gosh.
Poor.
See, now, I look for bargains like that. I actually, years ago, I heard a story where, you know, a guy bought a Corvette for $1,000 because, you know, the wife was selling it because the husband cheated on her. And so since then, I scour, you know, the one ads and Craigslist and that for just that kind of thing.
Well, you should Google that.
I'm an opportunist.
Well, you should be.
Oh, my God. I don't think I would ever have the balls to do something like that.
Oh, I would.
But then I guess you'd have to be in that position to even have that state of mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And finally, a kindergarten teacher in Norway was fired for letting her students taste her blood.
Wow.
What?
After a visit to the doctor, she had a vial of it. I don't know why she'd bring it into the school. The kids asked to touch it and play with it. And then when they asked how to get it off their fingers, she showed them how to lick it off. Or, you know, I was like, oh.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. Don't do that.
What is wrong
gosh.
With people?
So, why would you?
Well,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, we are going to go right to our interview. Reed is actually, he's already called in. Hang on just a second. Reed.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, good. Well, I was expecting to call you. This is a nice surprise.
Nice, yeah. Yeah. I was panicking because I couldn't find the call-in number, and so I had Dick. Our driver, the Dominator's car, texted to me. So I'm actually on the road. I'm on the road like 90% of the time anyway, so I'm in my comfort zone.
Okay. Well, everyone, this is Reed Timmer. Reed, how are you doing?
Doing good. You know, it's been a long off season. It seems like storm chasing season goes year-round now. So we were chasing the Gulf Coast a lot, even on Christmas Day. My mom wasn't too happy about that, but I felt to be more of a giving spirit to chase tornadoes and call in the report.
Well, I read some articles, and I see you've been a science nerd all your life, pretty much, and you've always been interested in the weather. And I found it interesting that you broke the family camcorder out in a storm once.
Yeah, my first storm chasing experience was when I was about 13, and I loved weather ever since I was 5. And I was a major science nerd. Like, my life was Science Olympiad. I identified trees in that competition. I collected insects by 10 years, but weather was always there. I was a late bloomer. Had a, you know, big bowling ball head and a stick body and big glasses and wore shirts with lightning bolts on it. But yeah, I think, you know, I've always been into weather. When I was 13, you know, a severe storm came up, and I grabbed the family video camera, ran in the front yard, got pelted by golf ball-sized hail, and destroyed the video camera. Probably took a few hits to the head, which might explain a lot with the driving in the tornado.
So was Storm Chasing your first show, and how did that come about? Storm Chasers.
Yeah, it was my first show, but we did a lot of appearances on media and stuff. And I moved to Oklahoma in 1998 when I was 18 to study meteorology and chase storms. And saw my first tornado in 1998. And one of the first ones I saw was the May 3rd, 1999 F5 tornado. And I was with 5 of my freshman friends, and we were packed in a soft top geo tractor. Had no idea what we were doing. This is the wrong way to learn how to storm chase. And instinct kicked in. I saw this F5 coming at us with the radio towers flying around in it, abandoned the vehicle and ran to an overpass. Families were freaking out. And it wobbled just a little bit. We were in the outer circulation, got covered in mud. But I've been addicted to getting up close to tornadoes ever since. But it was after that we saw the dark side and the damage that they leave behind, and that's what as storm chasing we're trying to do is prevent the loss of life.
Right, I believe 2011. I read it was an unprecedented year for storms.
It was, yeah. In April was the most active April in U.S. history, with almost 900 tornadoes, and yeah, we were chasing all those that went through Tuscaloosa and did search and rescue and. And all that. But I think a lot of people are learning, I think, now that tornado warnings, you always need to assume the worst-case scenario when it's issued. And, you know, a lot of people think that when a tornado warning is issued, it'll be a false alarm or miss their house. But or you have the guy in the porch with the Bud Light drinking a beer watching it come right at him and he's, you know, have the whole family take shelter. And there's a social science aspect, too. But, you know, the 2011 season was definitely tragic and an anomaly in terms of the number of tornadoes. And we intercepted a lot of them, too. So.
What would you be doing if you weren't storm chasing? Still something in the science field?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, maybe I would have stuck to the bug collecting for a while, but I'm not really sure. I mean, storm chasing is all I know, honestly. I don't have much of a personal life. I'm just kind of always on the road, living out of Motel 6s, eating gas station food, and, yeah, it's just an obsessive passion to see as many tornadoes as I can and intercept them and with our armored vehicles and understand their science. And, you know, I'll be storm chasing until my heart stops beating, sure.
You don't eat gas station sushi, do you?
No. No, that's the one thing that I wouldn't eat. But the truck wagon sandwich is my meal of choice at a gas station food.
Okay.
So if anybody would need to know about gas station food, I'm an expert on it. Don't eat the sushi.
Okay.
Reed, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
I love your show. Love the show. My husband and I, we always loved watching it on TV. I've got to put that out there. I was just wondering, like, during the years of you storm chasing, have you noticed that with the years coming that the storms were getting worse or more frequent?
Well, it does seem like things are getting more extreme. And, you know, it's hard to tell, though, whether that's a systematic change or not. You know, a lot of people blame things on global warming. For example, in 2005,
right,
when that active hurricane season, Hurricane Katrina and everything, a lot of people blame that on global warming. And then, you know, there are very inactive hurricane seasons after that. But it does seem like things are becoming more extreme. We've had all these winter tornado outbreaks with blizzards on the north side and, like, these massive tornado outbreaks, like 2011 with 900 tornadoes in April. And we've even had an earthquake here in Oklahoma, like a 5.2 earthquake. Then I intercepted a tornado the day after and had my window blown out by a small-sized hail. So it seems like things are getting more crazy. Definitely.
Well, that leads us to a good question. I think, Frank, you had something you wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah. You know, hey, how you doing, Reed?
Hey, how you doing, Frank?
Good. Now, let me ask you what you know about, you know, possibility of weather control, like these HARP machines that the conspiracy theorists talk about.
Well, as vice president of HARP, I'm not allowed to disclose any of that. No, I'm just kidding. But I think with you know, there's that one case of weather modification years ago, like during the Cold War. There was a hurricane that was heading straight for Florida, and, you know, we were experimenting with weather modification back then, and just by chance, the hurricane turned into Cuba, and Cuba blamed the U.S. for modifying the hurricane to hit Cuba, and obviously that, you know, is way far-fetched. There's no way that's happening. The problem with weather modification is that you don't know what the storm would have done anyway if you didn't modify it, so it's not really a controlled experiment, but... Yeah, weather modification is kind of one of those fringe science things, and I'm not a believer in HARP or its existence. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist here and there, but in terms of weather, we can't control it. I mean, we can control it a little bit.
Mother Nature is boss.
Now, let me ask you, do you think, you know, that will ever be possible? Do you see technology going in that direction, or, you know, is this
I definitely think it's possible. Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely think it's possible. I think that getting funding for research like that, you know, during the economic hard times is a little more difficult. I think that, you know, a lot of the funding now is kind of to try to get ground-based measurements of tornadoes and get out close to them and just see how strong the wind speeds can get so we can better build, better engineer structures. But I think if the economic situation improves, more of those fringe science-type experiments will get funded. And I think the technology is there because... There's a lot of cloud, you know, microphysics that happen in the atmosphere that if you just change one slight thing,
mm-hmm.
like, for example, you inject it with, like, these condensation nuclei, and you could turn, like, a bunch of softball-sized hail into a lot of, like, nickel-sized hail, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is some cloud seeding and stuff like that going on for agriculture, but you still never know what the storm would have done if you didn't seed it or if you're creating more of a monster, and it's definitely just not, like,
Well, if you need funding, I mean, the government can always cut more White House tours, you know, just throw on that.
Yeah.
Oh, we always need funding. The storm chasing business is kind of just a slow law, which is okay, because we're not the kind of people that save up for retirement.
Are you a believer in that people affect the climate, or do you believe that the Earth goes through cooling and warming trends?
I think both. My research is in seasonal and like up to decadal, like the 10-year time scale. cycles. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely those natural cycles in there, but, you know, humans emitting, you know, carbon dioxide and all kinds of, you know, things that contribute to global warming. I think humans do have an impact, but I don't think, you know, whenever politics are involved, you've always got to wonder, you know, if somebody's trying to make money and over-dramatize the potential of it. But at the same time, why not live in a cleaner planet and cut emissions anyway?
Sure.
I mean, you want to, just like a tornado warning, you want to assume the worst-case scenario. And the fact is the Earth is increasing in temperature globally. But, you know, the big debate is whether how much of that is human-induced and how much of it is related to a natural cycle. And I think only time will tell.
Well, I think most people want to do the right thing, but until they cut the cost of some of that green stuff, nobody's going to do it. So,
yeah, that's true. And our tornado tank is green, relatively. It gets like 12 miles a gallon. So in terms of, you know, 8,000-pound armored vehicles, it's
wow.
definitely green.
Wow.
But
now, I want to get...
Michelle, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Whenever you're going after the storm and then you actually like stop and you guys set it in. What is that? I mean, are you putting rods into the ground or?
Yeah. We work with, there's stake probes that we're working on now, but we also have an air cannon system that launches these parachute probes or parachute will deploy.
Yeah.
And they're carried around inside the tornado and they measure temperature, motion, pressure at a rate of 5 times a second. And then with our armored vehicle, it has hydraulics. So, it's aerodynamically shaped, has bulletproof armor, and it drops flush to the ground so no wind can get underneath, and it has spikes to go at 4 or 5 inches that'll anchor sound. And that measures the horizontal wind speed. So we're trying to get like a 3D X-ray of the tornado. And honestly, I just love storm chasing. It's my passion. I mean, being next to a tornado is like almost a spiritual experience. I mean, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen photogenically, scientifically, but then there's also the dark side and the damage that's
right.
behind, and that makes our
right.
career fulfilling because we can do what we love and we can help people in the past storm too.
Yeah, I mean, I personally would love to see a tornado and chase one. Oh my God! But
you
I know
out,
as long as nobody gets hurt, you know.
Thing with a tornado is you can't stop it. It's going to be there anyway.
Right.
And storm chasers by chasing it and relaying the reports of it and. You know, educating on how people can take cover and showing their destructive power through video. You never know, like through social networking, like those videos get shared virally, and you never know if, showing the tornado's power could mean the difference between somebody taking shelter or standing on their porch with a Bud Light and watching it hit them.
How many states have you covered chasing one tornado?
Oh, states and one tornado? We drive like 80,000 miles a year, so like during one tornado season, we covered good heavens. Like we've gone from the Canadian prairies, like Saskatchewan, Alberta, Manitoba, all the way down to the Mexican border, and then we storm chased in Argentina in 2009.
Wow.
2000, and like there, everything's flip flop, so the tornadoes on the north side of the storm rotate the opposite direction, and it looks just like Kansas. So we went down there in January, and it's their storm season during our winter. And we're driving along in these rental, like, Euro-style, like, Fiat. And you can go full speed, pedal to the metal everywhere. It's like the wild, wild west storm chasing. And, Kansas. And then suddenly we saw this pack of emus just come from right to left at, like 60 miles an hour. We almost slammed into them, like, deer. And the Rhea's down there. It's like a South American emu. But then we realized they weren't chasing anymore. They're taking off. Another funny story with Argentina is hotels have bidets, and I'm not familiar with it, but my friend, Chris, I saw him, he's like, what the hell is this? And he gets down into the bidet and then pulls the cord and it sprays him right in the face.
Oh, my God.
That's a funny story, but.
Love it.
Yeah, we don't have bidets here at Tornado Alley.
Well, we had, as you saw, we had several questions on Twitter. This is from Cindy. Are chasers required to stop and render aid or have CPR trained people? Should it be required, do you think?
They're not required to stop, but we always do. I mean, it's just human nature that when you see that destruction and you see people in need, I mean, it's just human nature to stop and help. And it's not required to have first aid, but I think that there should be a program in place where all storm chasers have some level of first aid because I've been in damage paths and seeing bad things that will stick in my mind forever. And when you see someone with such a severe injury look in your eyes that you can tell that they want you to help them somehow. And it's a really helpless feeling when you don't have the training to help those really serious injuries. But when we were with Discovery Channel, we had our medic and first responder, and he was able to apply emergency first aid and help a lot of those victims. But it also motivated us to get, you know, CPR training and, like, new traction splints and all that kind of stuff. But that's the scary part. Like, when you drive toward a damage path and you know there's damage and you just don't know what you're going to see, and, like, that's definitely something that, you know, is, you have to, it's your obligation to help and go there, and it's human nature to want to help, but you're also very scared of the bad things you're going to see in there.
Right. Well, from Ian from England, is there a chance of seeing a new series of Storm Chasers on Discovery? Because he said it is missed.
I don't think it's going to be on Discovery. But we are shooting Tornado Chasers, and
right.
If they want to see the 2012 season, they can go to tvnweather.com/on-demand, and our Kickstarter account, you know, and we're trying to independently produce this because we think that we can make a series that's much more realistic, covers the whole lifestyle, the crazy lifestyle, the mobile lifestyle, the storm chaser, and also get extreme footage of those GoPro cameras we mount outside the vehicle. And we felt like we never got the chance to show what the Dominator 2 could do and the powerful tornadoes that it could intercept. And we're actually building a Dominator 3 right now, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's going to look like Back to the Future vehicle, you know, with gull-wing doors that pop straight up. And it's going to be, you know, bigger. It's on a diesel. So we're going to have three Dominators, and the goal is to surround the tornado with high-resolution radar and try to get 3D wind measurements of the tornadoes.
Well, very good. I was going to ask how it's going to differ from storm chasers. Okay, very good.
It's very different, yeah. It's more of a, whereas storm chasers, you bounce from team to team really quick and mm-hmm. show the tornado, and a lot of times that, it doesn't give the chance for the team to breathe, really. And I think that, you know, this covering one team, we cover the lifestyle side, and our shooters and producers, like our shooter was a director of photography of storm chasers and rode in the Dominator and intercepted all the tornadoes with us. So the one we had our window blown out, we slid across the ground, we're all best friends. And so when you're storm chasing with your best friends and they're shooting you, it's like they're just out there storm chasing for fun. And I think it's a lot easier to kind of shoot reality television with an independently funded project with mm-hmm. your friends. Also that's television quality. And I think if people watch the 2012 season, you know, they may enjoy it a lot more. I definitely think they would. And we're going to let it rip in 2013, and that's how we're doing the Kickstarter campaign, mm-hmm. which is at tvnweather.com/Kickstarter. They can find more information. And it's crowdsource funding is definitely a cool thing. It's like a way to pursue the American dream again online.
So who all's involved in that, in Tornado Chasers? Anyone from the show?
Oh, yeah. There's Joel Taylor. We call him the Human Lightning Rod or the Brett Farm Storm Chasing.
Now, he's like your best friend, right?
Yeah, we're all best friends, you know, a group of storm chasers. I mean, you spend so much time on the road that, you know, it's hard not to be. And he's 6'7", so it makes me look like I'm about 5 feet tall on storm chasing. We call him the Human Lightning Rod. He's like the Brett Farm of storm chasing. He'll show up for the Super Bowl. Then we got Dick McGowan on Tornado Chasers 2012, and he can drive from, like, Orlando to Seattle back again. And then, I mean, the guy's a driving machine. And Mike Scantlin, the Scant Man, we call him. He's obsessed with high-speed camera operating. And so we'll have a lot of people from Storm Chasers. Maybe Ginger Z will come back and make an appearance, too. We had her on our podcast last night from Good Morning America, and a good friend of mine. So, we're looking forward to it.
And I have to say, Joel and Reed are huge, huge Oklahoma fans. I don't know how many posts I've commented on Joel's Facebook.
Yeah, I've been going to school at OU for 15 years. So, I mean, I rushed the field during the John Blake era, the first, you know, before Bob Stoops came, when we were, you know, like our record was like 4-8 or something. And we'd rush the field and we'd beat, like, these, you know, like TCU when they were bad. Like, it seemed every victory we'd rush the field. It was almost more exciting than
that.
Every game, but
so, my husband loved watching the show, and we always got a kick out of the one guy who was on, and I can't remember his name. He had the team that was, like, always behind, always going the wrong way.
The filmmaker.
Who the hell was? No,
the filmmaker dude.
It wasn't him.
Yeah, Sean.
Sean.
Yeah, the poor guy. I mean, Yeah, Sean Casey. Yeah, but he eventually got his intercepts, and then his Tornado Alley film is going all over the country and doing really well. And but yeah, it can be frustrating out there sometimes. But I mean, we've been storm chasing for 15 years, and I'm OCD, so it's really all I know. Like, I know a lot about a little and nothing about a lot.
That's funny.
So, if storm chasing doesn't count, I don't know what I'll do. I guess I'll push cards at Kmart. So.
There you go.
How often, like, when you're chasing a storm, that you actually run into other teams that you've worked with maybe before?
Oh, quite a bit. But, I mean, the crowd really thins out within about a quarter mile of the tornado. But you always run into, like, people in random locations. I got a lot of storm-chasing friends, even up in Minnesota or Canada, and you always kind of meet a random, you know, Flying J or some gas station on the side of the road in the middle of Kansas. But it's kind of a cool community like that, and but it's an interesting community too, because it's very competitive, and there's a lot of, you know, I guess a lot of people talk crap online every now and then, but I've never heard anybody say anything negative to my face, but it's an interesting community, I think.
Gotcha. Now, well, I remember the one episode. Go ahead, Frank.
Well, I was just saying, how many, you know, amateurs do you run into that are, you know, trying to get as close as you guys are?
Well, it's harder than you think to get close to a tornado, but, you know, not too many, actually. I mean, there are a lot of new storm chasers out there, but the problem, you know, is it's a very expensive hobby, too. So, I mean, you know, and a lot of times the biggest storms are later on in the season up in the Dakotas and Canadian prairies, but there are times when there are, like, traffic jams and stuff, storm chasing in the Southern Plains, but, you know, I think, you know, it could be getting out of control, but I think those people realize that, wow, you know, I blew all my money in gas, and I'm in debt now, and so, you know, but I've been a scrapper my whole life. I'll just keep storm chasing it now. But I think that, you know, there'll be a lot of them that will come and go, and, you know, but yeah, you see a lot of new storm chasers out there, but everybody's got to get started somewhere, but trying to drive into them is definitely not safe. You should do it the right way and learn how to storm chase first.
I'm sure the show inspired, you know, lots of people to, hey, I can get out there and do that. And
oh, yeah.
I know myself, you know, we get a lot of hurricanes where I'm at, and I'm right by the river. And I tend to, you know, hop in my Jeep, grab the chainsaw, and go out and see what I can see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was doing that long before your show came on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, you're helping people, you know. I mean, that's just human nature. Get out there, chainsaw, and help people. And we always carry chainsaws, too. We chase hurricanes, and but, yeah, I think, you know, probably even the Gold Rush shows, like, everybody's thinking, oh, I'm going to go up there and do that. I can do it better than those guys. And, you know, but, you know, I think with storm chasing, there's so many sacrifices that you have to make. And tell you what, it's very difficult to even find or have a girlfriend and make a living storm chasing. It just doesn't work out.
You did take a chickie poo with you.
I was just going to ask.
Did you not? Because I remember a chickie poo being on one of the shows. And I thought, what?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, she's a meteorologist as well, and we're good friends and everything. And but you know, she has a similar lifestyle as I do, like traveling all over, you know, the world, like documenting like crazy weather, and it's just a lifestyle that's difficult when you're not in one location. I mean, when I wake up in a hotel room, like it takes me 20 minutes to figure out where I am, and I'm in a pure state of panic, and I don't have time to do my laundry, so I'm the kind of guy that, you know, uses one pair of boxers for 2 days, just turn it inside out, get two for the price of one, and
I mean, stop it.
But you forget to do. No, serious.
Don't tell me that.
I've done four times. Yeah, but I mean,
you're good.
You'll pack for like 2 days, you know, worth of storm chasing, and then you end up being out there for 2 weeks, and that's when things, you know, really get ugly.
My mother-in-law went out for a week, but I can't remember the company she went with, and she said the hardest thing was not going to the bathroom for hours. So,
yeah, you've got to train. I think leading up to storm chasing, I try to hold my pee longer and longer every day and expand your bladder, and then eventually that's the key. But I'm not in training right now. I'd be in trouble. Or there's that. Then you have an issue.
Training.
You're approaching a tornado, and you've got two options. You stop and go to the bathroom and miss the tornado, or, you know, you find a way to, you just go and then see the tornado. And honestly, I would choose the latter.
Well, someone on Twitter,
a lot of Gatorade.
Sorry. You take a lot of what?
I've peed in a lot of Gatorade bottles.
Gatorade bottles.
Wow.
I wish women could do that.
The astronaut diapers.
Astronaut diapers.
Yeah, diapers would work. I think I might actually, if we can get a Depend sponsorship or something, I mean, I would wear it,
yeah.
You know, and then that would eliminate a lot of gas station stops.
Well, he said astronaut diapers. I'm not.
It depends.
Oh, astronaut. Okay. I guess
okay.
That depends. Part of the design. But yeah, maybe a catheter or something I think would work, but.
Oh.
I mean, I'm
not. Yeah. I'm cringing in pain right now. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Visual.
Thank you. I'd rather wet myself, you know. It's going to dry anyway, so, I mean, we're intercepting a tornado.
Oh,
I
my
mean,
God,
I'll
you
wet.
Just get out of the car, get in the rain. No one's going to know the difference.
Exactly. And the other
yeah.
way around, I mean, everybody's, you know, probably, you know, got, yeah, had the other disaster. I mean, you're not human if you have.
And probably if you're that close to a tornado, you may pee yourself anyway.
Anyway, exactly.
You know, so
let
it roll.
That would be the least of the worries.
Well, Reed, Janice on Twitter wants to know if you ever take fans along, her son would love to go.
Well, yeah, we have a tour company ourselves. It's ExtremeTornadoTours.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, but in the Dominator, we have all our engineers and everything and researchers and stuff. And, like, so, but trust me, I mean, it's like 130 degrees in the Dominator. There's black brake pad dust, like, everywhere, and it's brutal in there. I mean, it's because the air conditioning always dies, but... We also have Dominator Tours that you can look up on YouTube or DominatorTours.com, which is where they ride in the Dominator with us. And Extreme Tornado Tours, we have vans that are in our convoy with clear Lexan roofs. So you can, like, see the soft ball-sized tail coming down and, like, impacting the vehicle. So we have all that kind of stuff, too.
Cool.
That would
and
be
if
cool.
they want to watch live, too, we do live streaming video on tdnweather.com/live. So if there's ever
I have watched that
update.
Before.
And you can watch this intercept live, which is kind of fun.
I have
Thanks
checked
for watching.
That out.
Cool.
Okay.
And you can watch on your iPhone, too. Like, if you're not near a computer, you just love playing live.
Hey, and Reed, you can. We have a Cougar Chat free app, too, that you could have on your iPhone if you,
okay.
if you want. Just,
I'll do it, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I'll promote it, too.
Are you filming now?
We haven't started yet. We have to hit our Kickstarter goal and everything too, and it's a little early still for storm season. But we'll be starting in April. I mean, the we'd like to shoot year round because like Hurricane Isaac, we were trapped in a parking garage and by a storm surge for like 3 days, and like all these wild boars, like snakes, all the animals came from all around like to this parking garage where we were located, and it was pretty scary. My friend tried to feed the wild boars a ham sandwich, which I had to shut down because I love animals. I mean, how cruel is that? But anyway, I mean, yeah, but there are snakes, spiders, all kinds of animals. It was kind of cool, you know, and as an animal lover, you know, I felt like, you know, this one big happy family riding out the hurricane.
Oh, my gosh. I just adopted a poodle from the pound. So, yeah, I'm a new mommy, but.
I've got a Yorkshire Terrier teacup. Mini
that, that's what I wanted, but I think I would step on it. They're very, very tiny.
Oh, this is my favorite organ. I mean, I love her. I love this dog. I can definitely understand the bond that you have with a dog because, I mean, this thing, I mean, it's just pure love inside whenever I show up. You know, when I go storm chasing, like, she, like, bites at my ankles and, like wants to go storm chasing, wants to go everywhere with me.
Aww.
And I eat McDonald's one meal a day. Usually I'm kind of on that. Bad routine right now, but I'm not taking any calories, but it's bad calories. But her favorite thing is to ride in the car with me, go through the McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh,
so
cute.
Kind of funny.
Now, does your mom watch the dog while you go on the road?
My mom lives in Michigan, so when I go on the road, I have friends and stuff that I'll leave her with, and she knows all of them really well. So.
You think she lives at home still?
No. I just... No, not
I
at
might
home,
be,
but, you know. In the
are you that much of a nerd, Reed?
No, yeah. I have two sisters and my mom, and so my mom, you know, she pays a lot of attention to the sisters. I'm kind of the rogue, independent one out chasing stuff. She probably doesn't know what, you know, she doesn't want to know if I'm driving into tornadoes or hurricanes. Cause, I mean,
yeah.
She would get worried, so I try not to tell her all the details.
Well, the one show, the windows came crashing in, and... You know, you get blood all over your face, you know. that was like extreme, like for us to watch it on TV, you know, how they edit it, you know, it's like boom, and it's like, you know, and you see you turn your head and just glass shatter. But I'm sure of all the years that you've been doing this, that has not, that has got to not be the worst thing you've had happen.
That was bad. I mean, it would have been really bad if, you know, it was on the back side of the tornado when a suction vortex came around, and it was my mistake. I was a little overconfident. I just had my head out the window looking straight up at this cinnamon bun funnel coming down at you, but you can't really see it descending on you when you're right underneath it. And, you know, I could have lifted up our Lexan bulletproof windows. I was Dominator 1 back then, but it takes a long time. So I just rolled up the regular glass, assuming it'd be a weak tornado. But it intensified when we were inside, which is the worst-case scenario. And that suction vortex hit the left side of the vehicle and blew the window out. But it felt like I had, like, 5 or 10 seconds. Like, I was watching that suction vortex coming and then looked away. But when you watch the footage, it's, like, less than a second. And it shows that adrenaline slows things down. And, you know, it definitely does work and saves your life, I think. But, or at least I thought I had glass in my eyes for a while. Which was,
I know. Oh. That was so scary. It was so close to your eye. It was, oh, my gosh.
But then it cut out a lot because it kept bleeding. You know, we kept chasing the storm, but there were tiny little cuts. But it looked like a bunch of freaks probably, you know, still chasing the storm with the blood everywhere. So they cut that part out. But there's been some other times, too. Like Hurricane Katrina wasn't dangerous, but we lost our Honda Accord, the storm surge, and caught a ride from a fishing boat to an elevated railroad track and walked to the highway. And our plan was to walk 46 miles. And we had enough Vienna sausages to survive for, like, 3 weeks if we needed to. But the first car that came by, and it was, like, no one was there. I put my thumb up, and the guy picked me up and drove us to Hammond, Louisiana. It was just the employees. There were no police. You couldn't use your cell phone. Everything was down. And this lady said, hey, our friend just left the room next door. You guys got to get it. So I ran over there. Everything's unlocked. We get into the room and squat there for the night. And then start walking again and put my thumb up, and the first car picked us up and drove us to Jackson, Mississippi. I finally got a phone call out and found out my mom filed a missing persons report.
Oh my gosh.
And I just rented a car, and then we drove back to Oklahoma. But that wasn't really, we were never in danger. It was just, you kind of had to deal with the situation, I guess.
Did you go up north after Sandy? Have you been up north after Sandy?
Yeah, we chased the blizzard part of Sandy. We also had teams that covered the storm surge, but we were in the Appalachian Mountains. This was even more scary than any tornado because, you know, we're at 3,000 feet. They're getting 50 inches of snow, like 4 to 5 inches an hour, snowfall rates, thunder and lightning. It was like a hurricane, but with snow. And if you make one bad three-point turn on the top of that mountain, you know, you're in trouble, and people aren't going to be able to save you. And as storm chasers, you don't want to be the victim of a storm. That's the last thing. In fact, I would never call for help if I put myself in that situation purposely, but, you know, I thought we were going to have to make a snow cave there because I was an Eagle Scout. I always wanted to use what we learned a long time ago growing up in Michigan, doing those snow caves for the polar bear camp out. So I kind of wanted to try it out, you know, build a snow cave and have the breathing hole and survive in there. It'd probably be more comfortable than sleeping in the car. But yeah, it was scary. I mean, and the power all went out too. And the thunder snow was continuous. You had just constant thunder and light in the air with this heavy snow coming down.
A child recently survived for 2 days in a snow cave, and I don't know how old he was, but he had learned it on, like, you know, Survivor Man or one of those shows, which is, you know, kudos to them.
Or, too, I mean, because your body heat heats it up, and then it gets, like, this ice coating on it, and as long as you keep the breathing hole up there, I mean, you'd be fine. And, yeah, it's probably more sturdy than my house here. Like, Oklahoma, my house looks sturdy on the outside, but when there's a 20-mile-per-hour north wind, it sounds like I'm riding out Katrina in my house. I think it's built out of cardboard with, like, brick on the outside, but
that's the way my house is, you know, all the shingles on it, yeah. I've always wondered why cats will bury into the snow, but now I understand, just keeping in the body heat. So what are your favorite states to chase in, or state?
Oh, well, I love chasing in the Canadian prairies, for sure. But Dakotas, North Dakota is one of my favorite places to storm chase in. It's just beautiful up there. I mean, you have the sunflowers, like the bright yellow canola fields. There's not many people out there, like, so you don't have to worry about the damage as much. It's easier to intercept the tornadoes, and they don't have the bigger flying debris. And but I also love chasing here close to home as well, you know, in Oklahoma. And I've always wanted to storm chase in northeast Mexico there west of Del Rio, but I think the cartel might shoot at the Dominator if we cross the border.
Oh,
be good.
Yeah, no.
Hey, Reed, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying there's a lot of tornadoes, I think, west of Del Rio, in that area of northeast Mexico, and I've always watched them on radar, and I've always wanted to go west of the border and get one, but one of these days we'll pull the trigger on it.
Now, you had mentioned, you know, flying debris, and of course, you know, I'm going to ask you the twister question about flying fowls. You know, you had to have seen some wild stuff going by. Anything like, you know, like the cows? Or...
Yeah, well, in terms of living animals, you know, people ask, you know, if you've always seen flying cows fly by, and it is kind of weird. In South Dakota, there's this huge, massive tornado, an F4, you know, just sitting there spinning, and there's all these little lakes everywhere in South Dakota, and they get a lot of rain, and there's so many ducks there, like, they're loons, you know, with the pointed bills, and
right.
I always say, yeah, I saw loons fly, but, I mean, loons fly anyway, so it doesn't really make sense, but right next to this tornado, loons were getting ejected from the circulation. They're just laying on the ground, like, flopping their wings. So I've seen them fly through there. The Dominator 1 got hit by a horse one time. But,
oh, my.
And the poor thing passed away, but it was flying through the air. And that wasn't covered on Discovery because we were chasing in Dominator 1 and 2. So we had Dominator 2, and we got stuck in the mud, and the tornado changed direction and hit Dominator 1 head-on, and they had no cameras or anything, but it was the most extreme intercept that ever happened. All the windows were blown out, and, I mean, it was chaos.
Wow. Well, I just had breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Someone just told me you turned 33 on Sunday.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Oh, you're a St. Patty's Day baby. Happy early birthday.
Happy birthday.
I believe in the power of threes, too. So it's the third month of the year. Turned 33. We're building Dominator 3 in 2013, so... I think good things are going to happen for all of us this year.
Awesome, and thank you for Cindy letting me know on Twitter. How long did it take you to build the Dominators, speaking of?
Well, Kevin Barton up in Michigan and Rob Barton, like I used to work in the golf course business, and mm-hmm. So the mechanics on the dirt track, they build race cars for the dirt track in Michigan at the golf course. That's how I met Kevin, and he's the only guy crazy enough I know to build a tornado vehicle. Now he's obsessed with storm chasers too, so we're all on the same team. And he built Dominator 1 in like 3 months, and built Dominator 2 in 3 months. And Dominator 3 he's been working on since December, so he's had a lot more time to work on that one. And for that Kickstarter account, the higher our goal gets, our ultimate deal is to have all three Dominators covered in the show. That's how we're, if we pass our goal, we'll go for the stretch goals and want to let it rip, you know, independently.
What's the most expensive equipment in the Dominator?
Probably the radar unit on the roof. It's a low-end X-band radar to measure wind speed. And
okay.
Sometimes I look back and think, you know, I could have had, like, bought 3 Lamborghinis for it, but I had this radar inside a briefcase that's on the roof, you know, and then... But it's kind of funny, too, because my personal bank account has, like, $85 in it, so I actually have more coming in the Discovery show than I do after, so... It was one of those weird things where I look back and I'm like, good God, what the hell happened?
That's funny. Well, speaking of Discovery, we have mutual friends, the Kling brothers. Michelle and Frank and I are good friends with them. So.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
That's Barry Titsai, by the way.
What? Did you say Barry switch sides?
Barry says hi.
What? Oh, says hi.
I thought she said that too. It's like, wait a minute.
No, okay. Oh my God, it's going to kill me.
I'm going to get a phone call tomorrow. Sorry, Barry.
Oh my goodness.
At least I wasn't anyone that heard that.
Oh, my dog's kicking out.
I just put it on Twitter.
Oh, God. Barry put it.
What happened on Twitter?
What's that?
Okay, let's get
Hello?
Back to the Dominator.
Okay.
So with a bunch of you guys in the Dominator, and it's 130 degrees in there, and y'all's got the windows up, what do you do? Well, I can't imagine what gets done.
Don't dare ask. Don't you dare ask.
I'm going to.
Oh, okay.
Okay, someone's going to be passing, you know, at some point. It's got to be reeking in there at some times.
Yeah, it's definitely,
especially with
the sky. Yeah, it smells horrible in there, especially when you get out of the car and then get back in. It definitely smells like a mixture of the natural male pheromone or body odor, as we call it, and bad smell.
Yeah, I coached football.
Not glamorous. What, Frank?
I coach football, and in August, the locker room, you can smell it before you open the door. So, you know,
that's about what it smells like probably in there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But, I mean, we'll drive like 50 or 60,000 miles and, you know, see a tornado, and then, you know, drive all night sometimes, and you spend a lot of time on the road, and then try to recover during the off season, but I do so many speaking events and everything, and like the off season is becoming more of a grind than the storm chasing season, so things like vacations coming up for storm chasing. So yeah, April I think things are going to start getting active in the Southern Plains.
Well, Febreze makes a great deodorizing spray. And it's antibacterial.
It doesn't work.
I just think that makes it worse.
We know what we're going to send you for Christmas and belated birthday present now.
Exactly.
Febreze, even worse. Team Dominator and the boys.
You know, I'll make you guys feel better by telling you a story. My youngest son, he can clear a dugout with passing gas.
God.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a skill.
I got to the ball field and I get out of the car. Next thing I see, all the boys running out of the dugout. I get up to the dugout because I'm like the team mom. I get into the dugout and my son's the only one left, and I'm like, whoa, and I totally understood what was going on. So yeah, he can.
He was probably just sitting there laughing too, right?
Oh yeah, it tickles him, you know.
Yeah.
Were you proud or were you embarrassed? Because I would have been
a little bit of
completely embarrassed. Okay. Gosh.
I would have been proud.
Happens to all of us. We can all clear out a dugout, I'm sure, at some point in our lives if we wanted to. Yeah. If you're at the wrong place, at the right place, at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Well, Reed, tell everybody.
We're at the wrong place at the right time. Sorry.
I was just going to say, while we wrap up, tell everybody where they can find you, where to get the Kickstarter program information, and your website, and everything else.
Yeah, and thank you so much for your support and having me as a guest, and also promoting our independent operation. And they can get information at cbnweather.com/Kickstarter, and our website's cbnweather.com, so we also have all our 2012 episodes on there. You can find the live stuff. We have severe weather bulletins. cbnweather.com/Kickstarter is a place you can pledge, and in return you get anything from preseason passes to the 2012 and 2013 season, the 12 episodes, and even all the way up to riding in the Dominator in the convoy for us. That's one of the highest budgets. So it's not like a donation. You actually get rewards in return, and you also are supporting and being a part of an independently produced documentary film.
Nice.
And I actually went on there today.
We'll show what Dominator 2 is capable of this year. I promise you that.
Okay, good.
I went on there today, and I actually made a donation. So
good for you, Michelle.
Thank you.
I did.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to see the Dominator, but I did make a donation. So.
thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. How much do you got to donate to get the drive the Dominator? You know, I'm a guy, I've been in the Batmobile, you know, driven a purple ambulance, and I always try to get behind wheels of a very cool vehicle. And,
let's say $20,000.
This is on my list right now.
Frank's a badass.
Well,
he's a hunter. He's a
separate.
Okay.
Well, we can work something out off the Kickstarter radar for that one, because they have to stick to our Kickstarter pledges, but for driving it. You can send the email offline or something else. Because I go there. I mean, sometimes.
You know, that might not be a bad idea for an auction kind of thing.
Yeah.
To drive the Dominator.
Yeah, for like the stretch
option or something.
Because
yeah, I mean,
it's
yeah, definitely.
I get to do it for you, right?
Oh, yeah, God. Well, we'd love to have you behind the wheel. No one
you
ever
can drive it. You drive it for 2 inches. That's all you get. You get in, 2 inches.
Doesn't matter. It's the fact that I said I can drive
it. 2 inches or 100,000 miles.
I just want to sit behind the wheel. That's all. I just want to touch it.
We'll make sure it's cleaned out before then, too.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, do that.
Yeah, I know. Pre-social.
Let you go. Do you currently have a significant other?
No. No. No, definitely not.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, I'm pretty lonely, actually. But.
Oh, he can be the single
yeah.
of the month.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
You know.
Yeah. No.
Now
yeah,
you can auction him off as well. And
we could do
money.
That.
The problem is, I'm not the most stable guy. I drive a lot, live out of Motel 6s, but there's also advantages too, because there is an off season. So, you know, I guess it comes in troughs and ridges.
Definitely. Too fun. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll definitely promote Kickstarter. And actually, I would tell everybody if you go to Kickstarter.com and search for Tornado Chasers. Is that correct, too?
Yeah, go to Kickstarter.com, search for Tornado Chasers, and you'll find it. And we appreciate all your help, and we'll let it rip, and we'll bring you the best storm chasing series you've ever seen. Go ahead and
see. Absolutely, can't wait to see them. Can't wait to see them.
Well, enjoy your night, and happy birthday again, and thanks to
Dick
for setting this up for us.
Yeah, thanks to Dick. We all love Dick. He's a great guy.
He is nice. All right, Reed,
have a good
take
care.
You take
care.
Take care,
bye-bye.
Okay, never stop chasing.
Of course not.
Yeah.
That was Reed Timmer, great guy. All right. Wow, I'm
maybe
glad
we'll be able to send him a shirt.
We could send him a shirt.
I think we should send him a shirt, and he should wear it during one of the episodes.
That would be awesome.
I think he should. I mean, you've already donated, so I think that's what he could do, right?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for our special interview. Before we go, I do want to let you know that on the 18th, this coming Monday, we're talking to the executive producer, David Wood, of The Resurrection Project, the movie, which is the proposed sequel to Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. And then on the 25th, we have our zombie author, Doug Roberts, back on to talk about his second book, his second zombie book. We're excited about that. We had a great turnout last time. April 1st, we have Aaron Sagers, pop culture author, joining us to talk about all things pop culture. Frank, if you'd like to join us, because I know you and Aaron are buds. You know.
How perfect you're having him on April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. Oh, it's just a joke. He's not really going to be on.
He is the April Fool.
On April 8th, we have former WWE star Gene Snitsky coming on to talk about his new project with Bill Beam's book turned movie, Dark Horse. Yeah, that should be fun. He is a trip. Gene is a trip.
So I can tell by the tweets.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he definitely
And my son
is.
Likes him, by the way. My son, he's like, oh, Mom, I want to meet him. I was like, oh, yeah, let me just pull that out of my pocket, you know.
Well, he is going to come to – he was supposed to come to Phenomenology, but I think he had something to do. But they are going to go on a promotional tour, so they might end up at the same – maybe they'll be at Parafest. I don't know. We haven't played any of our commercials. We just kind of talked the entire time. I'll close this with commercials. But I am also in talks with a gentleman who wrote the book, The Missing Beatle. So that'll be fun. There was a missing Beatle who was prior to Ringo Starr by the name of Jimmy Nickel?
I think so.
Yeah, so we're going to have him on at some point. Exciting.
That's good. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us for our special interview with Storm Discovery's Storm Chasers, Reed Timmer. He, of course, and his buddies have the new web series, their new independent venture, Tornado Chasers. So, you know, go on Kickstarter and make a donation. And I'm sure that'll be fabulous.
Hey, thanks for having me on tonight.
Thanks, Frank. Our medical
thanks for joining us, Frankie.
Oh, I love you guys. I'll join you anywhere.
We'll see you next week.
Oh, we love you, too.
I will join you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Everyone, we'll see you Monday.
Hey, Jen. Do you know where we can get some great t-shirts?
We should use Dark Side, Inc. They're a unique apparel company that strives to give the customer the most diversified choices in design. We could get some rockin' t-shirts from them. All merchandise and original artwork is done in-house, so we need to give them a call at 508-676-6606 or go to darksideinc.com. And until next time, remember, everyone has a dark side. Hey, New Jersey, need work done on your BMW or other fine car? Montclair Motorworks in Montclair, New Jersey offers fast, reliable service with competitive pricing. With a BMW tech on site, they also have a state inspection station. Let Montclair Motorworks help you. Call them today at 973-744-9839. That's 973-744-9839.
Are you tired of waiting for Halloween to be frightened? Then get your scare on this coming March 21st through the 24th as Phenomenology comes back to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Phenomenology 105 is the largest and most eclectic paranormal conference in the Northeast. Come meet and greet with celebrity guests, attend paranormal investigations and lectures, and have more fun than a gaggle of zombies in a cage match. Scheduled celebrity guests include John Zaffis and the cast of Sci-Fi's Haunted Collector,
Destination Truth, Josh Gates and Rex Williams,
Psychic Kids stars and psychic mediums Chip Coffey and Christopher Fleming,
Darkness Radio's Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis,
Pennsylvania Bigfoot researcher Eric Altman,
Brian Cano, Chris Mancuso, and the Scared Crew,
Extreme Haunting Survivor Bill Bean,
UFO Abductee Travis Walton,
and much, much more. Also, don't miss out on our junior ghost hunts,
private paranormal investigations,
scaryoke in the lounge,
and the first annual Zombie Ball.
That's March 21st through the 24th in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. For tickets, visit the website at www.phenomevents.com. That's www.phenomevents.com. Phenomenology 105, where fact and fiction collide.